Welcome back to another episode of Real Talk Sundays, the podcast where Russian roulette meets, I don't know, Google it, where we provide a safe place to talk to people from all walks of life, including our moms. So join us today for a wild ride for this episode about menopause, because
people can't handle real talk no matter what day it is. Even when their mom calls them devious.
When your mom calls you devious. Yeah. Or diva for short. But thank you guys for joining us and tuning in. Make sure to that you follow us on socials, because this is general housekeeping
YouTube,
that we always forget.
Instagram, TikTok is back. We're good.
Ugh.
And we're not on the X.
We're not. And tell you what.
Aren't we on Threads?
We are on Threads.
Oh, we're on Threads.
Follow
People
us on
are
threads.
On that. Yeah.
We're not joining X. I'm sorry.
No, I don't want to. Threads. I need to join Threads. I think it's
threads.
A good one.
And then, honestly, I do have a Lemonade app as well, but I'm not like...
I don't know what that is, but that sounds fine.
Yeah.
Well, it's
follow
a really
us.
Great app,
but follow us. Yeah. Like us, share us. Share us with your mom. I think she'll really like this episode.
Yes.
But ultimately, we are wanting to dive right in because there is no time to spare, mostly because I was late to sound check, and it's perfectly fine because you were too.
There was a car accident.
There was two car accidents on the road.
Uh-huh.
So we had to go around, but... yeah, we're in for an episode unlike any other, quite frankly, where we're wanting to just talk a little bit more on the emotional and introspective aspects of menopause. So, you know, keeping attuned to as far as providing valuable information to those of you who are either premenopausal or who have a vagina and who are probably going to experience this at some point in your life, because this is information that not a lot of people get to talk about. So that's what our episode is today, is joining us for a lot of everything about menopause. And then, of course, how well do you know your daughter has a great segment. And then we're going to wrap out with a wonderful song and artist of the week. It's a punchy little tune to a well-ended episode. So stay tuned for that. But of course, the best people to bring us in on this conversation.
Our moms.
Our moms. Madres, mothers, mummies, all of our wonderful and biggest fans, quite frankly. Well, my biggest fan.
She's my biggest fan.
And my best
and
friend.
And best friend.
My mom's my best friend. She gets mad because, yeah.
It's
you
true.
Guys are the same. Like, but no, yeah. She's my best friend.
My best friend. Well, without further ado, no, I'll definitely introduce mine. You can introduce yours. Go for it.
This is my famous mom with her pink blazer. Mm-hmm. And she... Her name is Kathy, and she is a saint. No joke. An angel. I think she's an angel.
A purist.
Oh, everyone goodness. Thinks I that, Mom.
We were literally talking about that on the way here.
Yeah. You really are. So welcome to the podcast. She is very nervous, so bear with her, but she's going to do great.
Amazing insights. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait to see what this pink jacket delivers, quite frankly.
And you know what I was thinking? Well, before we get to your mom, but we do have – they grew up – differently and like an Italian family and a Latina family. Do you know what I mean? So that's kind of good to kind of like visit, you know?
Very excited about that. No, quite a few different perspectives here of the same, you know, the same topic. And of course, my mother, Marlene, infamous Marlene, a lady who would literally unzip her skin and give it to me if I needed a suit, quite frankly. The true, you know, I think woman who's inspired me, one of the most resourceful women I know, and one of the most accident-prone women I know as well. My biggest fan, my number one listener, my best friend, and just a boss babe too for her entire career. Has always worked very, very hard. I love you very much, and I'm so happy you guys are
Come
here.
Make me cry.
Oh my gosh,
I didn't say that. I love you, Mom. God, show me up.
Yeah, very fortunate because we know a lot of people don't have close relationships with their mom, especially a lot of people in our lives too that we love. So very fortunate, and the fact that you would agree to do this, because I know that, Kathy, I don't know if you listened to many episodes or any at all, but the fact that
she
you agreed
to
be
here. She has not listened to one.
I'm just, thank you for being here, stepping out of your comfort zone, making yourself a stretch, because I know it can be uncomfortable if you're not used to it. And I know I sent you the outline a couple hours ago, so I'm super happy that you agreed to continue to do this. And quite frankly, the best people, I think, and the most authentic as far as like our comfort level and being willing to ask you so many questions about this. Because have you guys had a conversation about menopause?
No, she just told me that she had hot flashes.
Yeah, I think we joke about it.
Yeah.
But we've never talked about it. So thank you guys, you know, specifically for doing that. But yeah, if you want to say hello to our all 10 of our listeners, say hello. No, say hello. And then
hello.
Also, how old you guys are, because I think that's relevant to this conversation.
I'm going to be 57 in March.
I'm 62.
Yeah, girl. Love it. I am 34 for all of those.
I'm 36.
Yeah, soon to be 35. Don't say, ugh.
No, it's just like, it's crazy. No,
and I think back too, like, man, I mean, this is, you know, a foreshadow as far as just 20 something years up the road for us, which is crazy to think about. This stuff is making me sweat.
It is a little warm in here, though.
It's a little warm in here. A little air conditioning. But yeah, let's talk a little bit more. A little bit, yeah, because we definitely want to know about the definition. You know, I looked at the definitions, and I think for the sake of brevity and focusing on just the emotional aspects and your personal experience as women who have had children, who are in menopause actively, and who are, you know, just our predecessors, just, you know, are the people that we need to sit with and really gain a lot of this knowledge from. But I like to focus a lot on the facts and stats and all that stuff. But I think for the sake of what this episode is really about, I just want to clarify with those at home, like, what menopause is before we get to more of the feels aspect of it. So really just the boring definition stuff. But the simple definition is the cessation of menstruation. So no more periods for at least 12 consecutive months is essentially the term. And then, of course, you have perimenopausal, which is the transition phase that can last, you know, anywhere from a year to 2 years. And actually several years. But that's just kind of like fluctuating hormones and getting your body ready for the transition in hormones to enter menopause. And I think the crazy part is on average, women in, you know, Western culture are about 51 years old when they step into menopause, but it can happen as soon as 31 years old, which is a bit crazy. So to kind of kick that off, when did you guys, because you both have two different experiences. So I think Kathy, we'll start with you, but when did you start feeling premenopausal where you're like, shit, this is, what's up?
I would probably say in my 40s.
Yeah. Like late 40s.
That's like so close.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, probably mid. I'd say mid.
Just around the river bend. Yeah. And for you, we were kind of chatting about this.
I was late 40s, but I had a hysterectomy when I was 36.
Yeah.
So I didn't have periods, but they like kept my ovaries.
Yeah.
So it didn't throw me automatically into menopause, but I started getting the hot flashes like 46, 47 to this day. So 10 years of hot flashes.
And
Any traumatic event could make it worse, which when I just, you know, I got trampled by a horse 3 months ago and had a shoulder, and they came back with the vengeance. So I was like, I'm hot.
You know? Yeah.
Because they were almost just kind of drifting away, but then they came back. So
interesting.
That's like a decade of hot flashes.
Yeah. Oh, and then some.
I would agree.
You still have hot flashes? Mm-hmm. Jesus. Yeah.
And they just come out of nowhere. It's actually a symptom. 80% of women will experience hot flashes.
Until you die?
Yeah. Well,
although I got this really cheap supplement, and it was at Bi-Mart. And it said, you know, daytime, nighttime supplement for hot flashes. And it's worked. I haven't had a hot flash since I did it. It was.
What's the name of it?
Yeah. What's the name, right? Bi-Mart. You have a Bi-Mart?
Yeah. I'm all about
amazing.
That.
Amazing. And it's all natural, which is really great.
Yeah. Oh,
so. Well, write that down.
No, I think that's a big one, too, because there's a lot of symptoms that are coming, you know, that come with it, unfortunately, fortunately. But is that kind of the first one you started to experience, was just getting, you know, hot flashes and then ultimately, like, you know, pepper shakes of your period?
Or a little moodier when you're PMSing.
A little moodier. How are we going to know? Like, I'm already, we were just talking about it.
It's already extreme because, but I think it's getting more extreme because we're getting older.
Yeah.
I know that's because you're like, I'm so emotional right now. And then we'll Snapchat each other like, I am just, I could cry at any moment those certain weeks, you know?
I'm either going to cry or I'm going to kill them or I'm going to, you know what I mean? Or I'm feeling great. And that's the hard part too. You got like night sweats, mood swings, a lot of like sleep disturbances and just, you know, vaginal dryness, which is something where I'm like, fuck, this is crazy. But I think overall too, a thing that I found when I was researching menopause, and I think we have to save it for a part two of periods because menopause and periods are just so, they're just so besties. But only a few species of animals experience menopause, and we are one of the very few species that actually experience it. So it was killer whales, beluga whales, short-finned pilot whales, which is just a certain type of
dolphin.
Long-toothed. No, that's false killer whales.
Oh.
A rare species of dolphin, but it was a long-toothed whale. And I thought that was interesting because if it really come, when you really come down to it, the almost like the metaphysical, dare I say, aspect of menopause is like your job as women is to pass along knowledge and is to share that because you're no longer responsible for reproduction. That is no longer a burden that you have to bear or, you know, a gift that you get to do. And so it really shifts the perspective to you need to share everything that you've learned in the decades that you've been on this planet with, you know, the people stepping into your shoes and then even, you know, our offspring. And so I think that's a really interesting perspective shift is like your goal and your value is to pass on knowledge. It's not reproductive. So if you think about it, really the people who are put on this planet and their sole purpose is procreation is men because they can literally pump out sperm till the day they die, quite frankly. So our goal, I mean,
yeah. Sorry, I made a face. That's just gross.
It is thinking about it. But yeah, I think a lot of women have that switched. And I think we've talked a lot about that too, is kind of the deep feelings that come when you're no longer able to reproduce or when you're no longer having that, that gift or that ability. And, in some cases when it's taken from you and you're, you know, whether or not you're ready for it. But I think that's kind of the bigger question I wanted to start with. It was like, do you miss Aunt Flo? Do you miss that bitch?
Not a minute.
Not a minute?
Not a minute.
I do.
Oh, you're so cute. I knew you would. Of course you do. Yeah. That was the first thing we talked about is my mom misses her period. Yeah,
I'm not sure why, but mm-hmm. I do. It was like, I don't know. I think I felt like I lost weight once.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I do. My kids think I'm weird. But
yeah, you are weird for that. But it's okay. We listen and we don't judge. but do you think you miss it because it means you can't have a kid anymore? Because you love that you were maybe to be a mom, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
You might need to think about that.
Well, you got to think, too. I mean, how what age were you when you started your period?
Oh, 12.
Oh. Yeah. I was 16.
I was 16.
I was like, wow.
That's crazy that you're
thinking.
Well.
And then from to your mid 40s, I mean, decades every single month.
I can tell you, I'm not going to miss it. I'll tell you that much.
But I guess I never had bad periods.
Okay, that's where it is. That's where it is. Yeah. Yeah. Figured it out.
I mean, not to say when I was younger, I might have had a little bit of cramps, but. Overall, I mean, I just had a relatively period.
And I'm out here throwing up and shit. And she's just like, I missed my period.
She didn't get it from me.
Yeah.
I have a good relationship with mine, too. I think there's going to be elements of it that I think I'll have. Because ever since educating myself about the cycle and being a little bit more in tune to it, a little more hands-on, so to speak, with my diva cups, I think there are aspects of it that I'm going to miss. I feel really in tune with my body right now as well. And so.
Well, it's going to throw you off. You're going to be like, wait, I didn't get my period. What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. And that was crazy part too, is like even with pregnancy, I think that was a bizarre, that was weird. But when, you know, when you are going through this and you're starting to feel these symptoms, like who were you able to talk to about this? Were there other people in your lives that you were able to either commiserate with or I don't know, just share your experience with, or at least, or was it all kind of got to keep it to yourself, quit your bitching?
No, Nana, my mom would tell me, you know, about the hot flashes and anything, but every female in my family had early hysterectomies. Sorry, Darda, hopefully you don't have to go through that.
No, definitely.
Because we had the endometriosis so bad. So that's why my experience with periods was so bad. It's you know,
like
wearing diapers
girl
at work.
Traumatizing.
It was horrific. So
some of your experiences.
Yeah. And some people immediately got thrown into menopause, like my mom and my sister, whereas I didn't because I kept my ovaries. But you still go through the cycle of you know, the hormonal changes every month. You just don't know when it's coming because you don't have that reminder of having your period, your menses every month. Mm-hmm. So I'd still get the weepies and the hungry, and I hate everybody, and I want to kill everybody. And then, you know, you're like, oh, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So,
do you think that people, it's weird that, like you said, your mom told me about hot flashes, but what about the emotional part of it? I feel like no one talks
about
that.
What about the psychological?
Yeah.
I just remember she was cuckoo bananas.
Right, but she can sit you down and be like, hey, no. When you get older, you might feel a little crazy, but I'm here for you. Or like, you know what I mean? Like something like that. Thanks, Mom. You didn't do that.
We're about
that.
That's what we're doing right now.
Well, I think because my mother never talked to me about it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't, and my mom was pretty even killed. I mean, she wasn't crazy. I mean, she had her moments, but I mean, she didn't have cuckoo moments. So we didn't really ever talk about it. And I don't know if that's just the way I was brought up. So I don't really.
But you don't know that she had cuckoo moments. She could have behind closed doors.
She could have, but not that I saw.
That's the thing, that because you guys were so tough, it's like insane, and didn't talk about anything. So she probably was feeling that and never said a word. Just like you don't say, you don't say anything.
Yeah, I don't.
I think it's scary too on Dad's side as well. Is my grandma also has had a hysterectomy, and so on both sides of my family. All women have had hysterectomies before or around 40.
Oh, wow.
So that is something that has constantly been on the back of my mind and something that I think looking through a very critical lens at my family's health habits and, or lack thereof, and kind of like how we live our life, what we eat, what we do, and how we even talk about overall health and wellness, it's kind of been really top of mind for me every time I go and get something checked out or looked at. And I had my tubes tied. In 2018. So that was something too where I was like, I remember even Googling, because for some reason I thought getting my tubes tied meant I didn't get a period anymore. And that's not the case. That's just so not the case. And I remember being so distraught, being like, damn. And then finding out too that I could have got a tubal removal instead of tube tie. But I mean, here nor there. But why do you think we're not talking about this? I know that it's 2025 now. So I think everything's being coined. But why are we not talking about, why did we not talk about this decades ago?
Are you talking about personally or overall?
Yeah, however you interpret the question, honestly.
I know. I thought I explained things to you.
Well, you're a nurse
about it.
And so me and you have had a lot of very medically, even learning about sex and how the period works.
I sat you guys down because my mom never said anything. I learned about my period at my sister's apartment, sitting on the toilet, getting the tampon thing and opening it. And
your first go.
My first go.
A tampon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
How intimidating.
So I just read all the instructions. And
resourceful. See, she's so resourceful. I would have been like,
she probably just grabbed toilet paper and just read it and created her own little tail.
TMI, but my mom helped me put my first tampon in.
Aww.
It's very sweet.
Because I was so scared. Yeah. You know I am with, like, I was like.
No, I called you. I remember too, because it wasn't my first period, but it was one of them, and we were going to a pool. And I remember I was so bummed because I was like, I can't go. And you were like, yes, you can. And you had those little OB.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is that?
But you got to put your finger in it. I was like, what? This is crazy. But yeah, I don't know. I think to you too, I think more socially or even, societally, like, why don't we talk about this? What do you think?
I don't know. I think that, and personally, I just feel like I handle things on my own and don't talk about it. I don't talk about a lot of things.
Yeah, we know. What about socially, though? Why do you think people don't talk about it?
I think for a while, like maybe when our moms were growing up or younger, it wasn't acceptable to talk about.
Yeah.
You didn't talk about periods.
Yeah, because people find it gross.
Yeah.
Men find it gross.
Now the commercials, they're showing the pad.
That's what I was thinking.
They're showing the pad now. With the,
and then I think that's a little overboard. But
that's so funny. Oh, man. Which honestly, too, interesting in those where they have like the little shot glasses stuff they're pouring and they're just showing you how, absorbent the pad is. That stuff, they didn't even actually start using actual period blood for demonstration on the efficacy of pads until like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Which is so hilarious.
Very taboo.
Super taboo. Mm-hmm. Which like. Society can, I think I am very happy to be in society in this day and age, though it is quite frankly, it's a clusterfuffle out there. It's a fucking clusterfuck. It's scary. But for women's rights and for all the things, even though it sometimes feels like two steps back, there is a lot of things. For God's sakes, you are on a podcast that we have talking about this. And there are so many women out there globally, in a lot of cultures, where it is very hush-hush to talk about something that happens to every single woman, like biological woman on this planet. and we make up half of the planet. The fact that we're not talking about this is, pardon my French, fucking crazy. And then women experiencing menopause, we're not, and it is the most understudied thing in medical. It is underfunded, it is understudied, and just now kind of getting the spotlight and the almost the shame on you for not studying this mm-hmm. because of what a big aspect of our lives it is. And so I think, you know, society just has a lot, we have a lot more work to do on shining the light on these personal experiences. But, and I am happy to hear, you know, that a lot of women are having open bars about this, that a lot more doctors are feeling more comfortable talking and just a lot more just testing is done, quite frankly. But I think that's a big one. And I don't know, and you as a nurse as well. I think this is a huge part too, and I think that's really the only reason you and I have had such a open conversation about periods, about pregnancy, about a lot of the stuff is because you have such a nurse approach to a lot of it. It's very matter of fact. It almost omits the feels out of it because, yeah, I just remember when we were young talking about intercourse and what that looks like. We never really talk about the psychological warfare that mm-hmm. takes place with a lot of it, and I think that's another one when it comes to menopause is the emotional aspect and the psychological element of this. So with you guys and kind of that emotional shift, how are you handling that? Like when you really were stepping into menopause, all right, we're no more periods. Okay, we're going through our mood swings. This is us. We're aging now. This is, you know, we're older. How was that transition for you? Like just emotionally?
I'll go.
I don't know. I just dealt with it.
This is the problem. This is the problem. I have a backup, or not a back, follow-up question. Did you guys ever talk to your husbands about it? That was a good one, huh?
I forgot.
Yeah.
Husbands.
I talked to Larry a lot because just the change that I've seen, not so far emotional, although I trigger faster, but the sexual libido of a woman. Mine just took a nosedive. Like,
that can make me cry.
We didn't even talk about that's not even in our outline. Oh,
seven
my God.
Years ago, just went, brr, you know, and I'm like, honey, I'm sorry. You know, it's because we used to be like rabbits when we first met. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you know, once a week or once a month. And it, to me, I could care less. It doesn't really matter. To where when I was in my 30s.
How did you not think of this?
Holy moly.
This is so crazy.
I was like, I don't want to scare Kathy, but I know. Sex. Oh, my God. And quite frankly, like, that's not necessarily a part of my identity.
Right.
But it is a big part of who I am.
Yeah,
And we were even talking in the car about, like, I'm in my sexual prowess, right? I'm in my prime, and I figure to ride this till my mid-40s. Like, I feel great. And the thought of sex not being such a big part of my life is a bit jarring right now in this moment, but I can also see the aspects of, you know, we were talking about asexuality, which is a little bit more of your approach, which is like, take it or leave it. I do it because my partner likes it. You know what I mean? Like, I could go without it. And
thanks for telling my mom that.
How well do you know your daughter? How important is sex to her?
I've heard her say that before. So.
Yeah. But I think that's a big one too. And I know sometimes that's a little personal, but like the sexual element, especially in a relationship, is really big.
But I don't think that happens with everybody.
Yeah.
Are you saying that didn't happen with you? Oh, my
Good
God, my mom.
Oh,
yay.
Good for you, Kat.
So happy for you, but not. You know what I mean?
On the physical side, you know, it wasn't enjoyable because the vaginal mucosa thins out because you're not getting that estrogen. So it thins out. So when you do have vaginal intercourse, it hurts. Feels like you're tearing those little tissues.
Oh,
so
I told my doctor, nurse shit right there.
That hurts. And he's like, oh, it's because of the thinning walls and blah, blah, blah. So got some estrogen cream.
Oh,
okay. Every twice a week.
See, these are tips and tricks that women need to know.
Estrogen cream. Because my thing was just like, all right, we got to double down on the lube.
No, like, that too. But, you know, that aside, still hurt. And I'm like, this is just not fun anymore.
Because it doesn't go all the way up. Yeah, it's not like a suppository or anything.
Shout out to your doctor for knowing that,
honestly,
right? Because
awesome.
That would be, like you said, it's not very steady, but he knew right out the gate. Like,
and we're definitely going to talk about that too. Like, I think that that's a huge impact on a lot of partnerships, but overall too, just the urge. Like, I don't care.
No.
I don't care. It's not something that for me, and the same shit that used to flip your switch doesn't. doesn't matter if it's, you know, 45 minutes of you know, foreplay or anything. It doesn't fucking matter because it's just not there. I don't care. And so you're having to, and we were talking about this on the way here, is really take a look at your relationship on a different level as far as like what intimacy is between you guys, mm-hmm. and a lot of different levels of connection, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And I think that's a big one. I mean, for somebody who's hyperly sexually active, like, and sex is a big part of my life and what I enjoy about it. And I was even listening to an interview with Halle Berry, and that was a big one too, where she was so vocal about this, to where she was like, I had to do my own fucking research because my doctor basically was like, it's vaginal dryness, and I think it's she got misdiagnosed with herpes.
Oh my God.
Because she was having sex and it was tearing.
It hurts.
And it hurts. Yeah. And so she was getting, you know, little lesions because of the pain. And it was just so quick for him to be like, well, that's what I look like upon inspection, that's what I thought it was, but yeah, she was just having such severe vaginal dryness, it was causing these lesions to form while she was doing it. And so I think that's a big one, is like, for me, I do anticipate having that be one of the larger challenges I face, because I think for me personally, I feel like I might take a hit on whether or not I'm sexy anymore. You know what I mean? And then we were talking about our cycles as well. And there are aspects of your cycle, especially when you're in ovulation, where you're fucking glowing.
Yeah, you want to go out. You want to dress fabulous.
And yeah. It's perceived that way as well. Mm-hmm. And to not have that feeling, and I think that's also a big stigma with menopause, is once you lose that aspect, do you still feel sexy? Do you still feel like you got the va-va-voom? Like, is it still there? Was it still there for you guys? Is it still there for you guys?
Once in a while.
Once in a while. It'll find you.
Yeah. Yeah, you used to have the cycle, the grouchy, the I want to eat everything, I hate everybody. And then after your period, you're like, woo, yeah.
Girl. You know,
you get the hornies, and, you know, that part has gone away. I still try, you know, to keep the flame alive. But, yeah, you do find other things in your relationship that, you know, bring you guys closer, and you just enjoy each other on a different plane. Yeah. Other than,
well, you have to. It's gotta get bunnies. Deeper. How about you? Did you still feel sexy? Did you still feel vivacious? And
I think when she drinks, she does.
Yes, you do.
She does. She feels herself when she drinks.
Give Kathy a couple drinks.
Everyone's her boyfriend. Remember your previous husband? She's like, he's my boyfriend now. Like,
yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. That was when I was 50, I think.
Ooh, girl. That was the day.
Well, that's the perk of getting older. You can do those things.
You can.
Because, you know, you're not really gonna
not a creep,
and you're not a creepy man, so by any means, I would be flattered if a woman hit on me, quite frankly. I think so. What are, I guess, the things that you need to do to feel that way, to kind of reincarnate?
Ooh, good
that
one.
Is it like, is it makeup, is it hair, is it, you know, I don't know, because sometimes it would be moments where I didn't have to have all that stuff, and I still feel it, you know, because it's your essence, it's who you are, it's like, to the core of you. A woman's sex appeal is like her root. But how do you find it now when you're not feeling it?
Self-care.
Self-care.
Doing something. Making yourself go do something for yourself.
Mm-hmm. What's your self-care, Marlene? Because you're always
getting out of the house.
Okay. Because I was like, just you're leaving. Always feeding the animals, and I don't even know
just,
what you do.
Just leaving?
Yeah.
This last 3 months, 4 months have been just horrible. And it's
That's what
get
I'm saying.
Worse again. I have to have the other surgery on my shoulder. So, yeah. My sexiness has gone out. I chopped all my hair off because I couldn't put it in a ponytail anymore.
Couldn't brush it. And
so,
everything.
Yeah. I'm like,
my mom would have brushed your hair for you. I know she would have. I give her a call.
Your house.
She would. That's the thing. You got to reach out to more people, Marlene. We're not on that, but you got to.
Yeah. Starting to do little mini vacations by myself with the girls, you know, to just get yourself back.
That's a good one.
Back to base.
Mom, what's your self-care? I don't want to answer for you. I catch myself wanting to answer because I know you so well.
Oh, shopping?
Yep. Shopping and getting your nails done.
Yes.
Would you agree? And then now I've created a monster and she likes to go to Vegas. It's a problem. It's my fault.
Vegas.
It's my fault.
Vegas.
And I have to say, gambling. She goes, I go, hey, I have rooms at the Excalibur. And she said, oh, no. I don't stay at the Excalibur. I'm sorry, what? Like, literally, would you ever think she would say that? Like, I was like, only will stay at the Cosmo or Venetian. Look at her. She knows she's guilty. That's her new self-care is something like that to where she wants to go to do something. So I'm going to make it happen. Right, Mom?
Yep.
Self-care.
Yeah.
So we got to focus on self-care. I think that's something, too, when it comes to your friend group or your girls, getting with your community, too. I mean, I know a lot of times we joke about shit. We commiserate. But do you guys talk about it with your friend? Well, you got a lot of nurse friends, too. Yeah. So I'm sure they're like,
all my friends are at least 10 years younger. I have one that is older than me. Mm-hmm. But all the other ones are younger than me. So they're all like, well, what is it about this? You know, so...
Valerie's my friend.
Yeah. Valerie's your
friend. I don't have many friends.
I have friends in California, and I have one friend here, but
we don't talk about those things.
I don't talk about a lot of things.
Yeah. Oh, this must have your skin crawling right now.
No, I think she's doing good. I think you're doing great. She doesn't have the friends like we would sit down and just talk about anything. She doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And it's not trying to make you feel bad or anything.
It's not that I don't have close friends, but it's not the type of relationship.
Aaron's your friend that you could talk about those things.
I would feel comfortable talking to her about
Steve-O's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just don't talk. Like, I have a friend I've had since high school, but we're very close, but we don't talk about things like that.
And there's nothing bad about that. She showed up to the wedding. She's definitely a real friend, but you don't have that openness, I guess you would call it.
Same. There's a couple friends that I definitely, there's just kind of that ring, you know, about, and there's nothing off the table for kind of that intermediate friend. And even, you know, I think too with women of, 10, 20, 30, even up to, I would say our great, great grandparents, like they don't, that's just not socially appropriate at the time too, especially when it comes down to the raw intricacies of it. So a lot of times people don't even, if they wanted to talk about it, don't even know how to talk about it. And that's why a lot of people rely on substance, because it's like, dude, get us 4 drinks in. We're going to have to talk. Girl, I got to tell you about something. Do you and your husband feeling this? Because this is what I'm feeling right now. And so I think that's another reason why I think I'm appreciative of this generation and even the information that we have access to. I couldn't imagine having the experience that you're having and not be able to go on Google.
Yeah.
And not be able to hop on my phone, go on TikTok and see how many other hundreds of thousands of women are experiencing the same thing I am, and I'm not alone. And just what an island, you know, and the lack of connectivity too, where you can just shoot a text or send an email or like, girls, can we just get together real fast, you know, and throw it in a group text back when this was really solving, you know, when this first started. And so that to me solves a lot of my issues of feeling alone and feeling isolated. And I think that's a big one too with social media, is realizing a lot of people oversharing on public platforms has actually allowed a lot of comfort in the things that are happening with my own body and my own, especially during pregnancies, especially during, you know, getting older. So for me, I think that was a bit jarring to realize like you guys didn't even have that comfort or that access, that lack of community in a way. It's only the community that you built, and if it was even ready for that conversation. Because I know Nana wasn't the most like...
No, she didn't talk to me about sex at all.
Yeah, and that's honestly coming from, this makes sense, from a Latina, you know, household and from a very very modest household.
Modest is a good word. I was going to say that when... How do I say this correctly? Because when they were growing up, or even their mothers, if you even talked about sex, you were deemed as like inappropriate. Yeah, devious. But I'm just saying how we talk about things, or even how you talk about your sex life.
Oh, yeah.
People don't want to talk like that. So people are shocked, or, you know, because women are supposed to be nice and polite and all these things. So I think that ties in with menopause. I could be wrong, but.
A heavy amount too with Catholicism, because Nana was very heavily Catholic. I'm sure, you know.
I was baptized Catholic. Yeah. So was my mom.
Hush. Even on her deathbed, I could not get anything out of her. Mm-hmm. It was very, very difficult, very secretive. And even I was, you know, and that was, I think, the jarring part too, at a very emotional aspect of seeing her, you know, exit this world, was even up to the month she died. still worried about what she looked like and how she presented to nurses taking care of her and not wanting people in the room while she was, you know, just that very modest, like, you know, Mija, shut the door, please. I don't want everybody. I don't need everybody in here with my business. Don't talk about my business. And it was very grounding because I had to have that conversation with her. This is how I show my love to you. You need to let me take care of you. And a part of that is doing this. And talking to her about her physical, you know, ailments and all these things was very difficult for her. And she was reluctant to do it till the day she passed. She did not want to have the convo with me. And I'm so just, if she'd known that I have a podcast where I talk about my sex life, she would die.
Oh, that's so God. Real. Remember, you were trying to keep notes of what she told you.
And she'd be, why are you taking notes? Yeah. Who are you going to tell about this? And I was like, Jesus, not a nobody. It's for me. I just need to know your story, bitch. Gosh. I just want to know about you. So it makes a lot of sense. And then the relationship, learning about her relationship with her mother. No wonder.
No, there was
or lack there thereof.
Was none. She,
you know, no you guidance. Know,
loved her mother to death, but yeah, there was no motherhood in that relationship.
And she was a kid, yeah. And she was a kid raising kids. Yeah. And so I think that's a hard part too, is looking at your guys' mothers and their experience with not only their womanhood, but the menopausal aspect, and talk about being on an island. My God, I can only imagine having this interview with Dad's mom, how she would, oh, she would refuse interview.
Yeah. She wouldn't. She'd say, wait, are we talking about Trump? Paul, come on.
Yeah, she would be very, very surface with it. It would be very difficult. I mean, I challenge it. I definitely welcome the conversation. I would be curious what she would say about it. But when it comes to, I guess, the medical aspect, because we had touched on this earlier, do you feel you had, you know, adequate support on the medical side of it? Do you feel your doctors were supportive and informative and gave you all the information that you needed, considering they don't know jack shit about it? A lot of doctors.
But she said her doctor did.
Mine did, but only because I'm, you know, loudmouth and I'm in there and I worked with his sister, and that's why I picked him, because they're just amazing and brilliant. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, you know, what about this? Can you test my hormone levels and blah, blah.
I was my own advocate.
So people that don't, they don't bring up that conversation. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, yeah, you're of that age, but I think they should do a little bit more prying, you know. Are you having, you know, is it painful for you? You know, I think they should put that on their little questionnaire that they give you before there, you know.
I was going to say, they do a mental health questionnaire. How come they can't do?
They should add those questions. Yeah. You know, if you're this age, please answer these questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they should add that.
Great thing. Where's the
Yeah. How about you, Kathy? Doctors. Do you feel it's adequately represented in healthcare these days?
I don't think so, but I mean, I've never gone to the doctor and
complained
about any symptoms.
Like a yes, ma'am, yes, sir kind of girl. Have you had female OBGYNs or female doctors? Mm-hmm. And even then, do you feel it's easier, or they bring it up more? Or?
Well, I don't go to the OBGYN. Well,
yeah,
very often. You know,
but she's saying back then, did you?
Oh, back then.
Yeah.
No, and you know what? I don't think I had a female OBGYN. Yeah, I always had male, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I was like, that's another episode. But yeah, I guess you just don't say anything. That's what we've gotten from this. She just doesn't say anything.
Yeah, kind of just a yes, it is.
It's okay. Very informative. We're not mad at you.
You're not, honestly. I think you represent a lot.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, too, coming from a nurse realm and, the advocacy aspect is huge in today's healthcare, regardless of what we're talking
about.
Even
if you're not a woman, it's bad out there.
You get 15 minutes and it's, you know, wham, bam, big man, get you out the door, because then they got to chart and get their next patient in there.
Yeah.
So I hate that about today's medical.
Mm-hmm. Wait, do you think that, this is a different episode too, but is that today's medical and you think it was better before?
Well, they had more time. At least you were like a person.
Write this down.
But they still didn't ask you the important questions.
It's recorded.
Sorry, my mind's just blown that we're in 2025 and she's basically saying
It's gotten worse.
Yeah. It's gone worse, which I feel this way too. I'm just hearing it from you made me feel validated.
I'm
Thank you so much.
Have your paper ready with your questions because you get in there and you're like,
yeah, you get nervous and you forget.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And your mom's not in there with you. To be yeah. like, I don't know, what should I ask? What should I do? What should I do? What should I not know? You know, and the hard part is you don't know what you don't know. And I think that's a big one too, especially if you come from a family that's also, I mean, we don't know. You go in there, they're the professional, they're supposed to tell you. And if they don't, then I guess it wasn't important enough to talk about. But you would agree, even with your experience, they should be doing more for, well, one, just overall healthcare for women, but two, especially menopause and premenopausal symptoms and just helping us with that and solutions. And honestly, just giving you resources. Did they give you any like, I don't know, here's some women's groups or here is a...
No, never.
Here's some people you can talk to about this. Here's a website you could go to. That's crazy.
But you have to think, people don't even know about the phases of your period. I didn't know that until you researched it. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine all of the women that don't even know that? And, you know, till recently, like, you're
a nurse.
I had to
fight for my hysterectomy. Yeah. He was refusing because he was a man. And he was saying, well, you know, you're only 36. And I'm like, I'm not going to have any more kids. I'm done. I said, I can't wear diapers at work anymore. Ugh. I can't be losing, you know, four points on my hematocrit. It was horrible. So I said, if you don't, I am firing you and getting another doctor. And finally.
And I want you to note in your chart that you are refusing this service for me.
Finally, he did it.
Yeah. Wow. Which is crazy because you had years of just your experiences were so horrible. I couldn't imagine having even one period.
How long did you go to work with a diaper?
Oh, girl. Oh.
No, that's, I'm just curious because that's what women do.
Three to 4 years I had to do that.
Bitch filled her boots, girl. Like she had.
Yeah. The last straw was I went back for my registered nurse. I was LPN. Then I went back for my RN. Got up. I had to give a demonstration in front of, it was my speech class, in front of the entire class. I got out. I was all snazzy in my high boots and a skirt, and I got out of the car, and blood just filled my boots. And I was like, I was in the parking lot. And so I shuffled into the bathroom and was just crying in the bathroom. And one of my classmates, Marlene, is that you? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, are you okay? I'm like, no. Mm-mm. She's like, and this teacher was just a bastard. So you didn't do your presentation. You failed the class. Failed. And I'm like, I have to do it. She's like, you tell him you got to go first. You do it and you leave. And so she helped me get cleaned up and I just shuffled in there, did my presentation, and then I left.
Shout out to that girl.
For real. Yeah.
What was her name?
Rosemary.
Oh, Rosemary.
Yeah. And so that was it. That's when I threatened that doctor. You don't do it, I'm firing you.
Can you imagine? And that wasn't your first rodeo there. That wasn't the first incident you had, because I do remember there were times too where you were having bad, bad period days. And I just didn't, I had no context. I was so little. I don't understand. I was just, you know, up my own ass in my own world. But I just remember you being down for the count with some of these were just traumatic.
Staining the chairs at work. It was so embarrassing.
I'm sorry. 3 to 4 years. I'm still on that. Yeah. I can't get over that, to be honest with you. That is women being so strong and just dealing with it.
And then it's to a point, too, where you passed a lot of this on to your daughter, to where, like, a lot of the things were like, that's not normal. Like, that level of being uncomfortable or that level of,
Fine, Amanda.
I'm fine. I don't know what you're talking about. No, that's, you know, it's okay to complain. It's okay to be, you know, to complain about it. And that's not going to have you being a complainer or less than or a wimp or anything like that. But it's these silent, stoic sufferers. And I think that's almost like built into us, dare I say beat into us, to where it's like, we don't cry uncle until we're losing 4 pounds of blood on our dissertation. You know what I mean? Until we're like, shit. Like, this is actually, because there were so many times too where it was changing your life. Your entire life was evolved around it. And you were still like, okay, well, maybe this will go. And it just never did. It never got better. It only got worse.
You guys are so strong. You really are not even as close as strong to. We are not even as close to as strong as these women are. That's insane.
My first period on that, in that that volume, absolutely not.
Yeah,
absolutely not. And raising hell if it wasn't given to me, like the conniption I would throw. Are you kidding me? But no, I just, yeah, I think in hindsight too, before we kind of lighten it up and go for a little bit more of a fun, but like looking back, what advice would you give your younger self?
Oof, love that question. Menopause?
Don't be afraid of asking questions and speaking your mind and demanding care.
Ugh. You're so inspirational, Marlene.
Yeah, because before I would just be like, you know, silence up for,
yeah.
Must be not that bad because everybody else isn't talking about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Who cares what people think if you're advocating and they think you're a bitch about it? Oh, this is a tough patient. This patient's difficult. Patient. You know what I mean? Like, who cares, ultimately?
Yeah.
Mom?
What
do you give your younger self?
I didn't experience what she experienced.
I know, but okay, but see how you are. The psychological of it. I'm just, not trying to be rude. The psychological of it and the everything you went through in menopause, what advice would you give your younger self about it? Maybe talk about it more? Or
I guess. I don't feel like I had that many terrible experiences with it. I mean, not that it's... Everything's pleasant.
I remember you having hot flashes and being moody. That's for sure. I was a preteen teenager, and I remember that.
Huh. Okay.
Maybe you forgot about it.
That's your recollection?
That's your perspective. No, I'm just saying, like...
Maybe it was you.
Oh! Bitch! Oh, my God!
I'm kidding.
I would tell myself to ask more support for my family.
No, that's what I'm saying. That maybe that's it. Like, hey, maybe you should talk about it to somebody more, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a family member, friend. She doesn't like.
She's trying to send me to
therapy. She thinks I need therapy, Marlene.
Let's you talk about it. We're going to play a game.
Hey, you want to
Do you
want to
play a game?
How well do you know your daughter? We're going to ask you 5 questions each.
Okay.
You're going to answer them to the best of
your
ability.
You're going to write them on your whiteboard.
You're going to write them on the whiteboard that I did not bring.
Because I'm irresponsible.
Okay. So.
You go first. I got to think.
And quite frankly, there's a couple of these where I think I know the answer, but I don't know if I actually do know the answer.
To your own.
No, she doesn't know the answer to anything. We played this game and she fucking doesn't.
I didn't know the answer for myself.
I don't know. Color? So when we did it, I go, no, remember when you went on this trip? And she goes, oh.
That is my favorite color. You're right. Littering does drive me fucking crazy. You're right. Yeah, sometimes I forget. Also, I'm not that great of a listener, Kathy. Okay. I'm working on it so
she
I can be a better friend.
I know. She does the eye contact, too. It's crazy.
So I can be a better friend for your daughter. That's what I'm trying to do. But I'm going to ask you questions for Miss Valerie and see if you know the answer to.
Oh, my God. You have them written down?
The number one question is.
Fuck me. I didn't.
Who's your daughter's best friend? Curious if you know the answer.
Well, I would say me. Mm. But if.
Without your mom.
Without me, I would say you.
Mm. That is correct.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
Ding. Wow. How special for you that you're my top, you're my number one.
She's got a lot of best friends, Kathy.
Yeah, I hope they're not watching.
Yeah, no, they are.
They already know. Oh. They already know. They don't want to know, but they know. You know what I mean? They
I'm
do
gonna
know.
Live with her.
That is... as soon as my kids graduate, I'm moving in.
We're going. Hope you're ready, Kayla.
As soon as your kids are teenagers, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just not right now. Yes. It's not for me. That's
Thank you for answering that correctly. Yeah. Okay.
Your turn. Good job, Mom. Ooh, Marlene, I have so many I want to say, but they're not appropriate. It's that was a good one. No, because you don't know the answer, so it's not going to work.
I don't know the answer. Maybe that's the answer. Mm-hmm. Well, now you gave it away.
How many African American men do you think she's met? See?
Does Amanda know this?
She does. It's a low number. She does know.
I think 5. Hey, it's a fair bet. Well, dude from Vegas, okay.
The prisoner.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And this guy.
And then the late one.
Yeah, it's 5. Oh my God, that was so great. See, this is why this is good. How does she know that?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Amanda, how many black men has your mom?
Oh, now we're getting good.
So devious. I think just 1.
Oh, my
like, and she dated him, and he was actually a really great guy, and she like really liked him, and everyone liked him. And she was like, I can't, no, thank you.
He bought me shoes.
He bought you shoes. He
was
a shoe guy.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah, you broke up with him. I remember him.
What was his name?
I can't remember. Can't remember. I know we saw a picture
of
him.
Long time ago.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, that's so great. Okay. If Val had $20. How would she spend it?
Ooh, that's good. You really put some thought into this.
I hope my answer is right. I think this is my answer, is what I think.
She had $20. How would she spend it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess maybe she'd just go to Starbucks. I don't know.
I said food.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is she hungry?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Probably Starbucks, huh?
Like food in any form.
Yeah. I looked at your drink. I'm like, food.
Thanks. Yeah, that's is like from Starbucks.
$10 drink.
Mom,
right
that
there.
Is from Starbucks. Good
she
for you.
Would buy food. So.
Love that. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, Marlene, let's ask you this question because she didn't even know her own answer.
Oh, no.
What is the biggest thing that drives your daughter completely nuts?
Oh. It's been crazy. I have a lot of them, apparently. Yeah. So.
I know.
I said like three when I did it. Go for three. Fucking... How about do top three?
Upon reflection, I need to stop flying off the fucking handle about a lot of
do
stupid
stuff.
Do
not drink milk out of her milk glass.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Don't do it.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
I didn't have that one down, but I mm-hmm. don't drink milk, so I wouldn't do that to
but
you.
But like that grosses me out, gives me the ick, but like what drives me crazy, oh, no, that drives me crazy. But that's a great answer.
Yeah.
Definitely top five.
That was a good one.
Okay, drives her crazy.
I talked about this in the car on the way here. Maybe inside.
Don't give her hints. Mm-hmm. This is a game.
She has terrible memory. I wonder where I get it. We both don't listen, okay? It's fine.
Stop. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And if you listened to my podcast.
Stop.
you would know.
You listen. Come on. You got this.
She doesn't like to be taken for granted. Like,
oh, I love that one.
Expected of her. You know what I mean?
Used and abused by people that want money
the
from
audacity.
Her and stuff.
I don't like being held accountable. I don't like.
Yeah, the held accountable is what I said. Yeah. But she doesn't like when people don't follow like what they were supposed to do.
Yeah. Or I was thinking littering. Really?
No, literally. I was going to tell you, you know, when people drop trash on the floor, I was going to tell you that.
Gets that crazy. From me. I hate litter bugs.
I hate litter bugs.
Ooh, litter bugs.
But does it really affect the whole world?
Yes. If everybody was a litter bug, can you imagine what a shithole it would be?
You live in a shithole, Valerie?
Instead of people like us who get the bags out and start picking up all your garbage.
I don't litter all the time. I have littered before, but... Amanda's voice is in my mind about littering.
She knows this. All right, you ready, yep. Kathy?
Oh.
Amongst Val's friend group, we joke that she has a very tiny what?
I know this one.
My mom just
out
listened
of
to the podcast.
All of our friends, she has the tiniest what?
What are we talking about today? I'm giving her a hint.
Yes, I know. That's what I was going to, but I didn't want to say it.
You don't want to say that. The V word?
The V
word. The private part.
That it's correct.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Actually holds up, she does. Verified.
Oh my goodness.
One more inch.
Marlene.
How did they know that?
Your daughter's a hoe.
We take showers, or like not together,
buying
but
tampons.
Like you
know, it gets like little itty bitty ones.
She gets the itty bitty ones, but no,
not
it wasn't
these days
until
my old age. It's yeah. not like that.
She's graduated to a regular.
No, I am a super plus in my old age. Marlene, if Amanda was president, what would be the first thing she would put into place? She asked me this once, so that's why I thought it'd be cool to see what you would say.
Oh. Wow.
Like a bill or a law, whatever it may be. No littering.
You litter, you die.
So, yeah. Your finger gets cut off.
And then she's very strong about being an advocate mm-hmm. for pro-women and pro-choice.
Yeah, that's true. So women's rights, women's she would, okay. Is that correct?
Oh, as of today, in the day's climate? Absolutely, that'd be my number one. Yeah.
What's your number two? I'm just curious.
My number two, it's something as far as like when it comes to harming children, there would be a death penalty.
Like any no rape questions, or,
yeah,
or
no
kidnapping.
Questions, no questions, if, ands, or buts.
I love that. I'm with that.
Yeah. I would have a busy day after inauguration, too. I'd have a lot of things to sign.
I'll just let you guys didn't ask, but I'll let you know what I answered to that question was that I would save all the dogs.
She would save all the dogs. So.
Mm-hmm. Right, Mom? What are you?
And healthcare. She was like, oh, yeah, and healthcare.
I would, for people with mental health and disabilities, I would make a ploy on that, especially Idaho. I think other states have it under control. It's Idaho specifically, I was saying, I would probably fix, but save the dogs as well. That's easy. You could easily save all the dogs.
You really could.
Yeah. That wouldn't be hard.
For my last question, I don't know this answer, so I'm curious.
Because you don't listen.
What is Valerie's most prized possession?
At this point in her life?
Here, move the mic close to you. Yeah, stay comfy.
At this point, I would say Kayla.
Oh,
you possess your wife?
Hey.
You don't own her.
She don't own me.
It's still a great answer.
I would say, yeah, she is. Like, I mean, I would be devastated if I lost that little prize over there. She's in this room.
So prized.
But, yeah.
In the corner.
She's saying right now. How about if I was a kid?
Oh. My answer was her house, honestly.
Oh, shit. I do love that house.
That is a possession.
Yeah.
I fucking love that house.
So she said prized possession. So, yes, my house would be the answer. But
as a
person, Kayla, yes.
If you can possess a person.
Yeah.
As a child, though?
Yeah, what was my prized possession as a child? I know this answer, so I just thought of it. Come on, Mom. Dad. Come on, you got this.
Your baseball glove?
No, my blankie. Wow, you don't even know
you
me.
Had a
that blankie that I even took to college.
Oh, we know mine.
See, she took... Oh, geez. She fucking knew,
that
see?
No, we know mine.
I for real took it to the dorms. Yeah, what was yours?
Now that I
Pooh
remember
Pooh
that.
Oh, Pooh Bear.
Yeah, I had a Pooh Bear, little guy. And then when we moved up to Idaho, I lost it.
Oh, no.
I lost it. I used to suck my finger and twiddle its ear.
Do you remember when she sucked her finger, Val?
That was going to be my next question is, what age did she stop sucking her finger?
I remember that.
Yeah.
29, maybe?
No, it was like 23.
You went back. Nope, you went back to it.
I did relapse.
You relapsed.
Yeah.
So her favorite thing is to suck her finger and pet a dog's ear.
Yes. Jill's
or
ear.
My hair. It would be her finger and then my hair. So that's a little weird when you really think about it.
Honestly, well, I quit when I got a big girl job. I started getting my nails done.
Yeah.
It was when I broke the habit. It was really bad.
That's right.
Yeah. A bit of an oral fixation, turns out. It's because I wasn't orally fixated enough as a child. So thanks, Mom.
I didn't give enough.
You didn't give me
you
enough.
Did too much.
I did. I was a big, big baby. All 9 pounds, 10 ounces.
29. That would, if you were 29, that means you had your kids, but you relapsed in that time frame because you were feeling a little low.
Low.
Yeah.
But I haven't since. I haven't relapsed since, you know, definitely since my 30s. That's for sure. And there had been times.
You're
too,
in your 30s. So try that again.
There's definitely been times where I'm like, oh, I remember. Good times, girl. We had such good times together. Anyways.
And not a thumb.
Not a thumb, girl. Yeah. And there was art to it for sure. Well, thank you, gang. Way to lighten up the mood. For real.
That was good.
But ending out this episode, too, I wanted to do a little bit more on the introspection side of it, even though we did ask you guys a lot just kind of on the past aspect of it. But when it comes to the process of aging, the stigma behind aging in our society, especially for women, and I think it's really flipping. I think that narrative is flipping as well. But what, you know, how do you guys envision yourself now aging into your 60s and your 70s and, you know, 80s, ideally 90s? But like how are you envisioning yourself aging? What are some descriptor words you would put to it?
Are you talking physically?
That too, yeah.
All of it, probably.
All of it. Or I guess a better question would be, you know, what are you looking forward to?
I think I'm already there. I don't give a shit.
People,
you know, having to have my hair done or wear makeup. It's a rare thing that I put makeup on. I put makeup on for this. Mm-hmm. But I just don't care anymore.
I don't care what people think. I don't care.
I hear that a lot.
If I look like a boy with my hair cut short, I just don't care. It's good for me. I feel good about it. I don't care what people think anymore. Just don't.
Good.
I hear that a lot. That a big, big thing is the fuck it's.
Yeah.
Because you've spent decades.
I'd rather have comfort than wear a push-up bra.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Forget that jazz.
Yeah.
But I do think society makes you feel bad getting old or getting wrinkles and things like that, you know, which I always feel like, well, you earned your wrinkles. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have wrinkles. And people are so worried about that I think that's sad because it's very superficial.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. It's okay to look your age. It's okay to get older.
Nothing. You're against Botox, that. Huh? Mm-hmm. We already know you are.
Yeah.
But how come you wear makeup every time you leave the house?
But I don't anymore.
Since when? It's You're true. Always like,
I go to the market,
she goes,
and stuff,
I got to put my face on. I can't leave. That's her whole
that's
life.
That's going down.
I know, but your whole life you have been like that. I'm just giving the different perspective.
And what's
like,
the balance between doing it for yourself and doing it for others? You know what? At the end of the day, if you want to do it, I mean, I love makeup. I'm starting to really love makeup. But I think that's interesting, too. Women our age as well as your age are you, both of you, have not had any work done whatsoever, ever, in any aspect of your life. And you have so many women who, if I were to put you in a chair next to somebody who has had that work done with the same age, the drastic, the jarring, the change that you would see. And though in the when they're getting it done, it seems to be preferred. But then upon reflection, there's such a line between it now being overdone and obvious to where it's like, yeah, we haven't earned our stripes. Girl, we earned these stripes. You know, how can we be proud of it? And so I think that's also something for my generation, because it's constantly top of mind in our friend group. We have a lot of friends who get a lot of work done, and it's preventative, right? And yeah, there's aspect too, like my laugh lines, you know, are very, very defined, and it's always in the back of my mind where I'm like, gua sha, or like, okay, what about Botox? Just a little bit, just a little filler, just to make sure, you know, just to keep me just a little bit. And it's, yeah, I think it's a big fear and a big anxiety. I don't know. I think that's another one too, is like, I wrote down, you know, what are your fears and anxieties related to aging? So if it's more of like, so that's the positive side of it. What's kind of a fear that's like, oh, fuck, that's coming.
Me breaking out all my bones.
Bitch, that's my fear for you too.
Yeah, we're all scared about that.
Bitch sneezes and she's like, oh shit, I did something. And I can't, you know, I try not to scorn you.
That's
but
what just makes me angry, is that I am not as strong and resilient as I used to be physically.
Yeah.
And it really... it's irritating.
You do get frustrated a lot too.
Yeah.
Mostly because you're the type of woman I actually have in majority of my life, the women who are like, fuck it, I will do it myself. My grandma is that way. My stepmom is that way. You are that way.
Asking for help is horrible.
An art.
I hate it.
And so I think that's difficult. It's been very difficult. Something I've scorned you multiple times on is ask for help.
And I did.
And you're like, I fucking do. And then they don't want to help me. Or they say, I can help you next Tuesday at 3:00, but I need help right now, you know. But I think that's valuable. Yeah, and valid. How about
Mom,
you, Kathy?
What are you scared of? Or it's not
scared.
I
think you're just your health, your overall health, you know, something.
Which is a big part, too, that they leave out in menopause and perimenopause is when you now enter menopause, bone density, your, like, flexibility, everything. And so I think... you know, and we'll hit on this before we hit our outro here, but the maintenance now that we need to take in late 20s, early 30s, 40s, and then when we're perimenopausal and menopausal, is you have to front row prioritize your health and overall wellness. It needs to be a huge aspect of it. But I think, you know, as far as like hopes and dreams for this next chapter being, yeah, I mean, retirement. You guys are just around the river bend for retirement, which is huge. I think actually, you know, my stepmom as well, everyone's kind of within the next few years. You guys are approaching retirement. So what's kind of this next chapter? What are you most excited for?
Oh, I'm excited for retirement. I can't wait to not have to go to work.
I know you are. I'm already like, what can you sell so you can retire earlier? A horse, in fact? Both of them? All of your animals?
Anybody wants goats? Free goats.
How are you, Kathy?
I don't know. I enjoy working, so I enjoy being productive, I suppose.
I feel like you might be one of those people that are like, I took a part-time job just so I can fucking do this or do that, or, you know, and volunteering everywhere or your time just to stay busy.
Yeah, I like that.
She's going to work till her hands can't type anymore.
Yeah, I believe
it. Exactly what. No, that's literally what's going to happen. And that's what I see. Because you're 62. Don't people retire at 65? Supposedly, yeah, allegedly.
65, 67.
Oh, yeah. God. That's crazy.
No.
That's crazy to think
60
about.
60 is my goal.
Oh, love that for you, Marlene.
Just around the river bend. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. That's crazy to imagine, too. Like, how many years have you worked? When did you start when did you start working? Just period.
When I was 20.
20. How about you? When did you start working?
14. I was a student worker with Nana at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have been working all your
wrong
life? A lot, like decades, five decades. Oh my God. Does it just kill you to have me as your daughter? Like, honestly, I would rather die than work.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad that you are spending time with the babies because they need it.
Yeah.
They need it.
You worked so much.
And if I did not have Auntie Roseanne,
yeah,
I wouldn't have made it.
You worked so much. I always remember you working. I still remember you always, like, even now. You're always working all the time. So, yeah, just peace. I love that you love it. I know a lot of people do love their job. I'm not one of them, Kathy. I've never been one of them. She loves her job, too. But, like, fuck.
Sometimes.
But, dang, like, that's, I think, a big one, too. And ultimately having, you know, time for yourself and peace and reflection, you're going to find a lot of solace, a lot of downtime in that to self-reflect and journal and talk and, yeah, honestly.
She says I don't talk.
Pry you open, girl. We're going to pry you open for sure. But no, thank you
so
much,
guys.
Go to
therapy. Let's go take some trips.
Take some trips, Kath. You love to travel.
Other than California.
Yeah.
Yes. See?
God. Let's get you out. We know. Oh, man.
Go to Vegas.
Go to Vegas. I hasn't been to Vegas. You haven't been to Vegas in a minute.
Go to Vegas a lot. Well, we meet Auntie Roseanne.
Yeah.
I'm chair.
Oh, I love you, ladies. Any last, I guess, for us, too, because I think that was a big part for us, too, as I put in here, like, you know, why haven't we talked about it yet? And my answer, I think, off the cuff is because we're not experiencing things yet that are premenopausal or menopausal. And I think when we cross that bridge, I love that
we can talk.
Yeah. But even in anticipation for that, you know, and we have a lot of listeners that are 25 to 45 mm-hmm. is a bulk of our female listeners. It's just their age, their demographic, and, you know, understanding the potential impact emotionally, physically, that this goes into our lives, I think is important, and having more conversations. And they don't all have moms that they can talk to about. So any last words for them, for our listeners, for the young women out there who are so optimistic, but it's going to come find us. we're gonna do it. I know it's exciting, but at the end of the day, too, there's always that fear in my heart. Like, yeah, I don't, and I am a feminist, and I don't think that age defines me and who I am. And I am excited for my 40s specifically. And I hear a lot of our friends too who are turning 35. This year I'm turning 35. This year we're just like, fuck, you know, this dread of getting older. And I really like it. I do think there's an element of it because I even look at pictures when I was 25. And though I miss that body so much, I don't miss that mind. Mm-hmm. I was very lost. I was a very lost girl. And I am a very found woman, grounded woman today. But I think for young women like us, and, you know, women who are a decade into ahead of us, what would you say to us?
Take care of your bodies. And don't be a silent sufferer, because there's, you know, five women that are having the same thing of you, and they're like, oh, my gosh, I thought this was normal.
Mm-hmm.
So know your body. I'm proud of you for tracking your menses mm-hmm. and knowing how you respond and what to do and take care of yourself and what your body needs mm-hmm. for your heavy, heavy cycles and stuff. So, I mean, just start to be in tune with your body. Don't take it for granted. Like so many of us did when we were younger.
mm-hmm.
So,
and if you think something's wrong, then go to the doctor. And
yeah. Don't
insist that it is something's mm-hmm. wrong.
That's a big one. Insist that it is wrong.
Yeah. That you can feel it. Like, no, mm-hmm. my body's telling me something mm-hmm. is off. Mm-hmm.
And asking them to, if you're not going to treat it, then I ask that you write down that you're refusing to treat it, or that you're, you know, or you need to send me a referral to somebody.
Because then they'll be like, oh, well, wait a minute. Let's do this test then.
Yeah. That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I did diagnose you. Well, no, fair advice. Fair advice. But yeah, I think, you know, rounding all this out, thank you guys so much for coming on here and chatting about this with us. I think it's a great conversation and it's just the beginning of, you know, more combos to come. And I'm sure there's a lot more, and we have Mother's Day coming up. So I'm sure having a special guest back for Mother's Day episode.
When is Mother's Day? Is in May.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not coming up.
You well, this won't me. Get this like, won't get published till like February. Oh, okay. So it's like, okay. God, you're gonna think ahead.
Okay, we'll bring you guys back on in May.
Crisp. But for our outro too, before I introduce the song of the week, you know, quick tips too as far as lifestyle changes for those 25 to 45 going into this. Yeah, diet, exercise, stress management, lift weights. Go to Bi-Mart. Get yourself supplement.
Bi-Mart.
A lot of people
says AMPM.
AM, yeah. Because a lot of people did do hormone therapy because that's a big part of it, you know, as far as your estrogen levels and your hormones. And yeah, just discuss a lot of your risks and benefits with those hormone therapy replacements with your doctor. And there's a lot of alternative therapies as far as, you know, acupuncture, herbal remedies. But, you know, I think so, too. Relying on the resources of today's day and age, too. We have North American Menopause Society, or NAMS, is a big one. Local support groups as well, where women who are premenopausal and menopausal, just a place to go. And, of course, talking amongst your girlfriends. But I think the biggest part is the reiteration of communication, community, and support. And this is not something anymore that will be hush-hush, that will be under the rug, that will be looked down upon, or that will be given the ick. I think that's crazy, you know, for my generation to just kind of get rid of that stigma. And I'm excited for my daughter as well and her journey into this. But prioritizing your well-being, your bones, your joints, your food that you put into your body, drinking water. And then, of course, if you want to connect with us on social media, sharing your menopausal story, premenopausal, or even just, you know, overall your experience, because we were talking to you about surgical menopause when you have things, you know, when your ovaries are taken and how that kicks you into early menopause. But sharing your stories, you know, anonymously too, if preferred, realtalksundays09@gmail.com or going to our website.
RealTalkSundays.com.
We have a little chat box there where you can submit. And then, of course, any direct message on any of DM our socials.
Us.
DM us.
One of us will answer.
And I will, too. but this week's song and artist of the week is Monster by Milk and Cookies, the Stratus remix. Please enjoy that punchy listen because it suits this episode well. And quite frankly, don't shell my milk, but go get your own. And listen wisely. But share us with your mom. I think she'd really like this episode. And I actually genuinely mean that. Okay. This one in particular. But we can't wait to see you next time on Real Talk Sundays.